Ready? Waiting for you.
So, at a slightly delayed 3:22 p.m., I'm calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee meeting to order for Monday, the 6th of February, 2017. And I do apologize for my tardiness. I was delayed in a meeting and was not able to make it out in time. So, first reminder to turn your cell phones down so they don't disturb people testifying. And I will do a roll call. We've got Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutes, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Keto. We've got a full committee. Supporting staff today, we have Caitlin Ellis, our recording secretary, and Greg Payne, our LIO moderator. So thank you guys for being here to help us out. And we do have one piece of legislation on our calendar today. That piece of legislation is House Bill 69 to repeal the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. We intend to hear this bill and hold it for open for additional public testimony. If we do have any, we'll bring it back before the committee at a future meeting and take our action at that meeting. So what I'm going to do is we'll go ahead and bring House Bill 69 before the committee without any objection by members of the committee, and we will bring the department up for a presentation on the legislation. Do you have a PowerPoint? Okay, so Commissioner Dragas, if you want to come up to the table, put your name and affiliation on the record, please, and let us know who else you have in the room to support you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing HB 69 today. I'm a loud talker, so I'll pull that back. For the record, my name is Heidi Dragas. I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. HB 69, which is before you, will repeal the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission and return the appeals process from the Workers' Compensation Board to the courts. The commission was created to streamline the appeals process from the Workers' Comp Board and provide expertise in handling workers' comp cases. Since its creation in 2005, however, 50% of the commission's decisions have been reversed by the Alaska Supreme Court. This high reversal rate underscores the fact that the commission is ineffective. The commission is essentially an appellate court just like the Superior Court, and almost every appellate court in the country is composed of a panel of lawyers. Yet the commission's lay commissioners have no legal training and contribute very little in the way of legal analysis to the issues being decided by the commission. It falls to the commission's chair alone, who is an attorney, to resolve the legal issues with minimal input from lay commissioners. Further, the chair also writes the commission's decisions. Therefore, the commission's decisions are the work of one person and not the work of a panel with legal expertise in workers' compensation, a further departure from the original intent of the legislation. By eliminating the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, the department anticipates a cost savings of $220,400 for the remainder of fiscal year 18 due to the transition provisions in the legislation, and $440,800 in subsequent years. The impact on the public will be minimal. By repealing the commission, the appeals process will revert back to the Superior Court, which was the process in state from statehood until 2005. The court system would see an increase of approximately 20 to 30 cases per year. This volume can easily be absorbed by the court system. So here to take us through, take the committee through the bill analysis is Debbie Banaszek. She is the legislative liaison for the department. And with us also is Marie Marks, who's the division director for the Workers' Compensation Division, and she's available to answer any questions that you might have. So thank you. Debbie.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Debbie Banaszek, legislative liaison for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I'm going to walk through the sectional analysis for HB 69. For clarifying purposes, the word board is referring to the Workers' Compensation Board. and the word commission refers to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. This bill would repeal the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. And of note, we are working with the Department of Law on some technical changes that we discovered, and we expect that we will have those shortly from them. So if you look through your sectional analysis, Section 1 amends AS 2330.005 by adding a new section, a new subsection, clarifying that unless reversed or modified by a court, decisions of the former commission have the force of legal precedent. Sections 2, 3, and 4 amend various statutes by removing a reference to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Section 5 amends AS 2330 by adding a new section, clarifying when a workers' comp board order becomes effective and is final, when it may be stayed, and clarifying when the board's findings are conclusive and binding on a reviewing court, and when the director may intervene in an appeal or petition for review. And that goes through several A, B, C, D. Section 6 amends AS 2330.155 by adding a new subsection changing a statutory reference from the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission to the Superior Court. Section 7 amends AS 3950.200.B.31 by removing reference to the Commission. Section 8 amends the uncodified law of the State of Alaska by amending Rule 204C2, Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure, to address bonds for appeal purposes. A bond will not be required from an employee appealing a denial of compensation from the Workers' Comp Board. Section 9 repeals 201.1, 401.1, and 501.1 appellate rules of appellate procedure. Section 10, and I don't know if I need to read them all, it repeals
Ms. Banaszak,
12.
I would suggest that maybe if you can try and provide some summaries. So I think, as in if Section 10, you're talking about repealing all these other statutes, what would be beneficial for us is if you could tell generally what the purpose of that section is. If you have those statutes, an idea of what we are repealing, are those references to the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission? It probably won't help us to know that all of those numbers are not there anymore. So if you could do that, maybe kind of continue that through the rest of your presentation, give us an idea of which what things are changing.
Okay. So in Section 10, the 12 statutes that are repealing, they talk about the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission specifically. Section 11 amends the uncodified law of the State of Alaska by adding a new section relating to indirect court rule amendments. You have to make changes to the court rules to address the repeal. Section 12 amends the uncodified law of the State of Alaska by adding conditional effect language that the Act takes effect only if Sections 8, 9, and 11 receive the two-thirds majority vote of each House required by Article 5, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution. And basically, that refers to when you modify court rules under the Constitution, it requires a two-thirds vote. And if a provision doesn't get two-thirds vote, a law can be passed, but the procedural court rules aren't then changed by the legislature, so it just addresses the court rules in that case. Section 13 amends the uncodified law of the State of Alaska by adding a new section relating to the applicability of amendments to proceedings pending before the commission. So all of the statutes relating to the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission remain in existence until December 2nd, even though the bill is enacted on June 1st. So this gives time for the commission to finish its pending cases and time to transfer the files before the terms of the commissioners themselves expire on December 31st, 2017. Section 14 amends the uncodified law of the State of Alaska by adding transitional language, clarifying proceedings seeking review of a board decision and order that have not yet been filed before the commission. They must be filed in Superior Court on or after June 1st, 2017, and any appeals not completed by the commission on or before December 1st, 2017 will be transferred to the Superior Court on December 2nd. And it also clarifies procedures for requests for reconsideration during this transition period. So basically, the Workers' Comp Appeals Commission will not take any new cases after May 31st, and they will have 6 months to wind up their pending cases by December 1st. All new cases as of June 1st and pending cases not finished by December 2nd must be decided in Superior Court, essentially putting in place the procedures that existed before 2005 when the commission was created. Section 15 amends the uncodified law of the state of Alaska by adding transitional language, and basically this deals with the terms of commissioners, their terms expiring on December 31st, 2017. And finally, Section 16 clarifies when the act takes effect, which is June 1st, 2017.
Well, thank you. And we have a couple of questions. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, for Ms. Dragas. Ms. Dragas, the 20 to 30 cases that would move to the Superior Court, that doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm wondering what the impact on the Superior Court would be and how it would adapt to that. I mean, we used to, the savings would be $220,000. Can we give that to the court?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I think it would be a little bit inappropriate of me to speak on behalf of the court on those issues.
Sure.
I know that Nancy Mead, who represents the court, is here and can probably answer those questions.
Okay.
So as far as the savings, it would the department would see a savings of that amount. I can speak to the fact that last year this bill was introduced. At that time, it was the previous chair of this committee, Representative Olson, and the court system did prepare a zero fiscal note last year. So I think that's a relatively small fraction of cases that the Superior Court sees in the overall big picture of what the Superior Court does. So there are Superior Courts, there are, you know, several jurisdictions in Alaska, and so that's 20 to 30 in sum total across the state, and there have been I do have the number of decisions, number of appeals that have been filed. At its inception, the number of appeals filed were a little bit higher. In 2006, there were 42 appeals filed. In 2007, 49. But then, ever since then, the numbers have dropped precipitously. In 2011, there were only 21 cases.
20 how many? I'm sorry.
In 2011, I can get you this document.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I can go through this in 2000.
I've got that.
Yeah. So in 2011, there were only 21. In 2015, there were 31, but then we crept down to 20 in 2016. So that's why we say roughly between 20 and 30 cases, because the work of the commission has slowed down a little bit.
Follow up, Representative Justin.
Thank you. Commissioner, was any thought given to using the Office of Administrative Hearings to act as the first, I guess, trier of fact, and then the Superior Court could be like an intermediate appellate court or something like that? I mean, the Administrative Hearings Office is used to dealing with appeals at that sort of initial level and a variety of things. Was any consideration given to that?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, yes, there was consideration given to that. Part of that was I had heard from several practitioners prior to that what had happened prior to 2005 had worked. I sort of had a philosophical problem with the idea of having two layers of administrative hearings prior to getting your case heard in court. And so to go from the Workers' Comp Board to then the Office of Administrative Hearings, and then from there maybe either go to the Superior Court, or then instead from the Office of Administrative Hearings to the Supreme Court. To me, it seemed like too many layers of administrative review. At some point, I think a litigant is entitled to a review of his or her case in court.
Thank you.
Representative Birch.
And then thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I'm looking at your Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. I don't know if it has a page number on it, but it's a nice spreadsheet that kind of summarizes everything from 2005. And just because I'm not real familiar with it, if the Workers' Compensation Board, do they hear every case, or how many? You've got the board, and then you got the appeals commission, and then the court. Is that the sequence? Or if somebody doesn't feel like they're being treated right as far as a workers' compensation, either the employer or the employee, their first recourse is then to the board. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, I'm going to call in my lifeline on this because Marie Marks is also here with us, who's the director of the Division of Workers' Compensation, and I think she does a really good job of explaining how the process works. The other person I forgot who is on the line is Andy Hemingway, and Andy is the former chair of the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, and so Marie can speak to the nuts and bolts of how the workers' comp board process works, and then Mr. Hemingway is on the phone to discuss how the nuts and bolts work for the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission.
Great, and I maybe just a walkthrough, if you will, Mr. Chairman. If we just have a walkthrough of an injured employee, I assume they don't reach agreement with their employer with you know how much time off they have or something like that. So somebody appeals, either the employer or the employee, and then it goes to the board. And then beyond that, I'm kind of curious as to how that path works.
For the record, my name is Marie Marks. I'm the director of the Division of Workers' Compensation. Through the chair, Representative Birch, I'll do a quick summary of what happens when an employee is injured and how it makes it through the system to resolution. If an employee is injured, an employer must report the injury to the division, and they immediately begin paying benefits the way our system is set up in law. So most of the time, benefits are provided seamlessly to an injured worker, and the board doesn't need to intervene. It's only when a dispute arises about whether benefits are owed or not that the injured worker then would need to file a workers' compensation claim. And they file that with Alaska Workers' Compensation Board. And that begins a dispute resolution process. The parties begin to engage in discovery. The employer can admit the claim or they can deny it. And after discovery is complete, the parties either settle it through a settlement agreement or they request a hearing before the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board. The board member in total is 18 members, but only a three-member panel hears each case. And we have quite a few cases that are heard, so we need a lot of board members to hear those cases. And the panel consists of one member from labor, one member from industry, and those are lay members of the community who serve on the board, and then one full-time hearing officer that is a full-time staff member that chairs that hearing. The hearing panel takes the evidence, listen to the opinions from the treating doctor, the opinions from the employer's medical evaluator, and sometimes a third opinion from the board's list of doctors. We have a list of doctors parties can request, and decides which one to give most weight to. Who do they believe the most? And issue a decision. And the decision is issued within 30 days after the hearing in writing. Then, currently in the law, either party may appeal that decision to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. And then the Appeals Commission gets briefing from the parties and makes a determination on the appeal request. From that point, either party may appeal with Alaska Supreme Court. And again, likewise, the Supreme Court gets briefing from the parties and issues a decision. And that's the end of the stop.
Okay, just by way of follow-up, in trying to keep score here, I see we have the Appeals Commission has dealt with 362 cases were filed, and then if you carry it across, 100 went to the Supreme Court. If 56 were dismissed, is that 56? Can you tell if they're dismissed in favor of who were they dismissed in favor of, or how do you assess that?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, the spreadsheet doesn't break down on which party request or action form the basis of a dismissal. A case can be dismissed for numerous reasons, and Chair Hemingway, who is the Appeals Commission chair, he was a former Appeals Commission chair, who put together this great spreadsheet, is on the line as well, and so I may turn to him and get some clarification on that. But things are dismissed for a variety of reasons. If they don't meet their time deadlines, if they don't fulfill the requirements of the appeal, the briefing time frames, and so forth, sometimes the cases can be dismissed. But I may turn to Andy Hemingway through the chair.
Mr. Hemingway has signed up for questions, and we can defer to actually bring him forward now to answer that question if
okay,
you'd like to.
And the only other, just as a follow-up, is what is the total number of cases that end up in front of the Workers' Comp Board, recognizing that there's, you know, averages 40 or so a year that go to the commission? Is it 10 times that many, or, I mean, how many go to the board every year?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, I do have that number back in my office, but off the top of my head, it is approximately, out of the 1,200 reports of injury filed, I think it's about 250 claims per year.
Okay.
Claims on the merits of the injury. But through the chair, Representative Birch, I will absolutely follow up with
you. So about 10% of them get rolled out to get appealed.
That are through the dispute process, correct. The majority of them provide benefits seamlessly to the injured worker.
Thank you.
Okay, and we have some other questions. So how about if we hold questions from or for Mr. Hemingway until we get through around here, and then we'll bring him forward. So Representative Stutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. How many commissioners are there?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, on the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, it is a three-member panel that hears each case, and there is two lay members available and two labor members available and two industry members available, and then we have one full-time staff member appeals commissioner. So it's five members total potentially to select the three-member panel from.
Follow up? Through the chair. Thank you. So there's one full-time member on this commission, and that's all that's on the payroll, so to speak?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, there is support staff that assists the chair, and I believe that there's one staff member that assists them and helps with administrative functions, maintaining case files, providing notices to parties, mailing that and out notices and so forth.
One more follow-up, please.
Follow-up.
Thank you. Through the chair. So I guess what I'm really asking indirectly, and I'll make it a little more direct, is how many positions will be eliminated, or will people be repositioned with this going back to the court system?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, I can take that. There are two individuals who are full-time on the payroll for the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission.
For the record.
For the record, my name is Heidi Dragas, Commissioner for the Department. The chair is a full-time member, and the chair of the commission is an attorney. And then there's a support staff. I don't remember the exact title of the support staff, but there's a full-time support staff there to assist the chair with getting decisions out, noticing hearings, things of that nature. So two full-time positions.
Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That will be eliminated, or will they be repositioned?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, correct. They will be eliminated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, with great respect for the commissioner, I think this question is for Ms. Marks. Who's finding facts along this pathway, this procedural pathway? In other words, is the commission hearing again about the injury and revisiting all of those things?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I may turn to Mr. Hemingway to confirm that.
Okay.
But generally, the trial court level, the initial level, which the board serves in that capacity, is the fact-finding body. The appellate level, in almost every type of adjudicatory process, is not a fact-finding. It is deciding questions of law and whether the lower court erred. So my short answer is no, the Appeals Commission is not fact-finding, but I will defer to Mr. Hemingway if he wants to clarify that.
And I think it might be an appropriate time to bring Mr. Hemingway forward. Mr. Hemingway, do you want to put yourself on the record? And I think we have two questions from you. If you can't recall, perhaps Representative Birch can ask his first question and then Representative Justison. You're breaking up quite a bit. Can you try that again?
All right. This is Andy Hemingway. I'm the former chair of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Am I coming through now?
Very, very, very well. Thank you.
Okay. And I recollect the questions from the committee members, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Representative Birch. You asked about the effect of the dismissal in the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court dismisses a case, the decision from the board stands as the final administrative decision. So whoever won at the board level is then the prevailing party in the appeal. Dismissing the case after it's been appealed to the Appeals Commission, if it's dismissed by the Supreme Court, the Appeals Commission is effectively not a party, not a player at all. It's the decision of the board is then the final decision. So it could be whichever side appeals is the loser, but we don't know who that is in any given case on that spreadsheet. And through the chair, Representative Josephson, your question was about the fact finder, and Director Marks is correct. The board is the sole fact finder. The Appeals Commission has no fact finding authority except in matters where a request for a stay is made or attorney's fees, motion practice, that sort of thing. There may be some fact-finding associated with those things. But on the merits of a case, on the facts of what happened, the commission has no fact-finding role at all. Their job is simply they can look at the record to determine whether or not there's sufficient evidence to support the factual findings made by the board, but even then, they're not making any findings of fact. They're just simply saying that the record is sufficient or it's not sufficient.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Birch.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andy's going to hear your voice. I wanted to ask as well. I would be interested in kind of the outcome, if you will, of the process are injured employees upheld in their claims and assertions, you know, 90% of the time or 50% of the time or you know, how does that work as it goes through the board, then the appeals commission, and then into the court? And I understand that a dismissal is a winner at the board level, but I'm just kind of curious as to the overall process and what the net effect is. I can get that later offline. Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Birch, it is good to hear your voice as well. Former neighbors, more or less, up on the Mid-Hill side. The spreadsheet shows the outcome in the Supreme Court from decisions that were appealed from the commission. On the appeals from the commission to the Supreme Court, you can see, I think the spreadsheet indicates that of those cases where the Supreme Court issued a decision, 20 cases were affirmed, 15 were reversed, and then there was a smaller number that were affirmed in part and reversed in part. So that's an indication of what happens to the Appeals Commission's decision in the Supreme Court. In terms of the appeals to the Commission from the Workers' Compensation Board, I couldn't tell you. I think I may have put together information on that at one point, but I'm not the chair anymore. I don't know where I might have put those or if they're still available. But they could get that information. My sense overall, there is one category of cases which workers are generally unsuccessful on appeal, and that is precisely the case where the primary issue on appeal is the board's factual findings. In other words, where a party simply disputes the injured worker is found to not have a compensable injury, and that, and they object to the board's fact findings, it's unusual for the appeals commission to reverse on that basis. Typically, they're going to defer to the fact findings of the board. There may be in some situations a reversal because they determine that the board applied an incorrect legal standard or something like that, or evidence was included that shouldn't have been, or was excluded that should have been considered. So there are reasons why a reversal might occur, but generally the board's factual findings are going to be sustained. In terms of the legal matters that come up on appeal, some you win some, you lose some. I couldn't venture a guess as to which parties tend to be more successful on appeal on the strictly legal issue. I will say if an employee is not represented by an attorney, and they're raising legal issues on appeal, that again is likely not going to be successful. The attorneys are going to be able to present better arguments and may in fact know that, well, that's an argument you can make, but it's not a winning argument. And so the two categories of cases where employees don't do very well are one, where they're challenging the factual determinations, and two, if they're unrepresented by an attorney and they don't have and they are simply disputing the legal rulings, the chances are that's not going to be successful. But when both parties are represented by counsel and you have legal issues on appeal, the reason they go up on appeal is because they're dicey issues and they can go either way. So my guess is you win some, you lose some. I wouldn't expect those to go one way or the other.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Looks like Commissioner Dragas has a comment.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to follow up on something. I had to let it marinate a little bit, and I was briefly conversing with Director Marks about the comment about the funding. And one thing I wanted to clarify is that when the Appeals Commission was created in 2005, the department was actually not given any money in conjunction with creating the Appeals Commission. We had to use the existing funding from the department, and that was actually in our WISCA funding, and if you ask me to tell you what that stands for, it's WSC, I should know that off the top of my head, Workers Safety Compensation Administration Account. But don't quote me on that. I don't have, usually Paloma Harbor, who's our Administrative Services Director, that's clean up for me on the budget, the details on those funds. But we were never given any additional funding to support the program. So in my opinion, I think it would be a bit unfair to then give the funding back to the court system when workers' compensation is already pretty strapped as it is to function as it is with the funding cuts that we've already seen from the department.
Further questions, Representative Knopp?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would address this question to the Commissioner. So I guess the reason we're proposing doing away with the Appeals Commission is because we're not finding them very effective. But so I'm reading the chart. So we've had 100 appeals to the Supreme Court, of which only 15 have been reversed. Of them, so they've been 56 dismissed or remanded back, or 20 affirmed. So as far as effectiveness, if you only have 15 being reversed and maybe 4 being partially reversed, I don't know, is that a measure of ineffectiveness, or am I not reading it correctly? And then my second question would be, do we think that maybe just a three-person panel would be the problem? What if it was a 5 or 7 panel? You have 16 appeal commissioners, you mentioned. So if the panels were larger, would they be more effective, or where's the problem, I guess, is my question.
For the record, Ms. Marks.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Knopp, just to clarify that there are 18 board members and 5, one appeals commissioner and 4 lay members who serve on the appeals commission. So there's a body of 5 who is the appellate panel.
To the chair, where did I hear the one hearing officer and 2 members? Where did I?
Through the chair, Representative Knopf, and that's at the workers' compensation board level, the initial, essentially, trial court level.
Thank you. Got it. Thank you. And then if I just follow up quickly, so the question about the effectiveness, we're only seeing 15 reversed out of 100. What's your position there?
Through the chair, Representative Knopp, if you look at the chart, you see that 56 of the cases were dismissed or vacated or remanded. Something else happened to them. 20 of those cases were affirmed. 15, however, were reversed. That was the reversal rate we're looking at. So you have 20 were affirmed, 15 reversed, and then four of those that were affirmed in part and reversed in part. So in my mind, that to me tells me that the Appeals Commission is not getting it, with all due respect to Mr. Hemingway, the Appeals Commission was not getting it right enough of the time. And there were other measures of ineffectiveness. I spoke with two board chairs at the time, one current and one former, who, and I don't want to speak for them, then there were, have been a couple chairs of the commission, that they were essentially doing the work for the commission, that they were writing the decisions, that there was very little input from board member, from commissioners, and that had me significantly concerned, and actually I thought that might be part of the reason why there was a problem with the reversal rate, the significant reversal rate from the Alaska Supreme Court. As far as your question on whether a bigger panel would make a difference, I think it depends on what the panel would have been made up of. I think it's possible. The difficulty is these cases are very intensive cases, and they're very legally intensive because the appellate level, as Ms. Marks said, is the level that is determining questions of law. So it's not that the individuals on the commission don't have expertise in workers' compensation board cases, but right at that level, you're looking at the law as applied to the facts found by the workers' comp board. They're doing an evaluative process of the law. And when you're a layperson, you really are at a disadvantage to determine whether the law and the facts measure up. And I think that's a lot of the problem with the Appeals Commission, the way that it's structured now. And honestly, this has been before the legislature in previous iterations, both in 2015 and in 2016. And we didn't hear a lot from individuals, honestly, one way or the other, about how they felt about it. Maybe that will change now. But I think my gut says there is a consensus that the process that's in place right now is not working. I frankly didn't see why the process before was a problem, returning it to the courts after you go through that first layer of administrative review.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions for Commissioner Dragos and Ms. Marks? Representative Stutes.
I think my question actually is for Ms. Mead from the court system.
So I think what we'll do is have her come up and provide her testimony, and then we'll be able to answer some questions. So without any more questions for Commissioner Dragos, Ms. Marks, or Mr. Hemingway, I think we can move on to our next invited testifier.
So next up we have Nancy Mead from the court system. If you can come up and place your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nancy Mead. I'm general counsel for the Alaska court system. I'm here to answer any questions any members might have about the bill. The court system is neutral on this bill, and we did submit a fiscal note which shows zero impact on us from this change that would occur. And I'd be happy to explain how things work to the extent I can, or answer anything that you might have for me.
Okay, thank you, Representative Stutes.
Thank you. I guess I'm curious as to how it can be a fiscal note of zero if you're going to be getting additional work.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Stutes. The court system tries to absorb changes to the extent it can without a fiscal impact, and we do are kind of proud of the fact that our fiscal notes try to be extremely honest. By getting these cases, we will have an impact. We will have more work to do, and our superior court judges will have these sometimes difficult cases to deal with, whereas they haven't had them for the past 10 years. On the other hand, it's not the sort of impact that will cause us to have to hire a judge or have to hire another clerk. The average of, well, we've heard 20 to 30, or I think the numerical average is 33, but as the testifier before me explained, that's because there were a lot of cases early on. So say there are 30 new cases per year. Those will be spread among our superior court judges, and we have over 40 of those. So perhaps a judge would get one, or maybe in Anchorage, two or three, because they'll be filed in the district where the population is, additional administrative appeals per year. So we already handle about between 160 and 170 administrative appeals per year. Adding 30 or 33 will be an impact, but it will be not such an impact that we would need additional resources to handle it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess as just a comment to think about in terms of like a pickup truck, and you've got a pickup truck with four wheels and it's already carrying stuff and you add a few more things to it, at a certain point those wheels will pop. But I think what Ms. Mead is saying is the wheels aren't quite ready to pop yet. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Mead, my sense of what goes on mostly back in chambers is that there might be some oral argument or some relatively short hearings, but a judge would have to pour over a record probably on a weekend day because their dockets would be full, and write a sophisticated opinion, could be 20, 30 or more pages, so that the Supreme Court knows what the judge was thinking and why they were thinking it. And they have self-respect. They want to do a good job and provide a good product and do justice. Is that, am I right that this is intensive sort of academic work, the hard part, that is done you sort of behind closed doors? I mean, because it's like writing a book.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that is not inaccurate. These are difficult cases for our judges, and the court's mission is to resolve controversies that come before it. So yes, our judges resolve controversies like this, and they'll be able to resolve these controversies as well. Administrative appeals, as you point out, are different from trials. They involve more desk time and more studious time. Often there's a hearing, and then they're longer decisions, and they are more studious, I think was the word you used, in reaching these decisions. And the administrative appeals sometimes are not as urgent as other matters that the Superior Court judges handle, for example, children's matters or things that have scheduled hearings. These sometimes take a little bit longer than maybe the public would expect. And to be sort of blunt, we've lost positions in the court system, and we are we're cutting our budget, as all other agencies are. And so some things are taking a little bit more time. And on the other hand, we need to do this sort of work. So if the legislature passes a bill that says we will get 30 more cases, we will do 30 more cases. Our judges will handle these in the course of their work, and perhaps they'll be coming in on a Saturday to do it, or maybe they'll squeeze it in. I'm not certain when they will do it, but you are right.
Thank you. Any further questions from Ms. Mead? Thank you, Ms. Mead. I do not have anybody else on invited testimony, but I wanted to let committee members know we do have Assistant Attorney General Kimber Rogers available for questions, so I can call her forward if anybody has questions. And it's looking like we perhaps, Nancy, do you have
I did want to add one more thing that perhaps I should have said at the beginning, so excuse me, but as the prior testifiers explained, I have met with them about some particulars in the statute that would make it easier for the court to take these cases, and they've been very receptive to some of my comments about language changes or additions to the bill that would clarify things, because if we are going to get these cases, we'd like to know exactly how they should be handled. And so I just wanted to put in front of the committee that I believe, working with them, that there'll be some revisions suggested to make this work a little bit better for everybody, including the injured workers and employers who will be impacted by whatever the courts do.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Mead. We do have one individual on, I believe, on for public testimony, and no? Okay. So I think we are done with testimony. I will open public testimony. And I am going to plan on leaving it open until we revisit this bill. Hopefully, we'll be able to get to that later this week. And I don't see anything else before us, unless anybody else wants to bring something else forward or provide an additional comment. Without any additional comment, I will adjourn House Labor and Commerce for February 6th, 2017 at 4:07 p.m. Thank you.